You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is Thursday, November 6, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the intersection of State and Fairchild, downtown Madison, at the old Civic Media World Headquarters. Glad to have you along with us on a Thursday, an overcast fall day. Mr. Zommers, I would call it a typical fall afternoon. Is that fair?
I would agree.
I'll take a look.
We have certainly arrived in jacket weather.
Yes, it is absolutely jacket weather as we take a look at the old Sam Davidson street cam down there on State Street. A little fuzzy. I'm not sure if it's the camera lens or
the window, maybe.
The window, maybe a pigeon. Last year, you remember a bird. We had molted feathers all over the window. I hope that wasn't the case. I hope we have not sacrificed a bird here. But, you know, the windmills. It's all the way. It's the windmills.
The windmills and the sharks.
Exactly right. So anyway, but no, it's a nice day. Went over to Wonder State, got a little coffee. It's a little jacket weather, as we're fond of saying. But whatever you're doing today in Wisconsin, enjoy it. Get out there. Again, snow coming. I don't think anything super measurable. We're not talking a half a foot or anything. But maybe a dusting. We'll see, as we used to say, enough to track a cat. You ever use that phrase, Zommers?
I think I have. I mean, well, I know I've heard it,
yeah.
And I believe it was also before knowing you. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I already knew
it. It wasn't just a Toddism from Richland Center.
I think.
All right. Yeah, that's what we used to say growing up. You know, is there enough to track a cat? Means is there enough, like, on the sidewalk where if a cat walked through, you could see the footprints? So we may get a little bit of that, but the main thing, going to get cold. Cold this weekend. So be prepared for that. Temperatures, I think, are going to bounce back a little bit next week. But maybe not to the degree of which we've been seeing here. It's been a very nice fall across the state of Wisconsin. Big show. Hope you stay with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour after the Farm News Report with Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, we have Mr. Dan Schaefer, the political editor of Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. And boy, howdy, is there a lot to recombobulate about. Dan's going to be in to give his thoughts on the elections in other places this past Tuesday, what it means in terms of folks running in the state of Wisconsin in 2026. Also going to take a little peek at the old Marquette Law School poll. And I want to look at issues with Dan because he highlighted this and not everybody was looking at the sexy head-to-head numbers for candidates, which turned out to be not that politically sexy at all. But there was more information than Marquette Law School poll on issues. And Dan pointed this out. I want to go through this with him. And again, what it means in terms of Wisconsin politics. Also, perhaps talk a little bit about whether Mandela Barnes, former Democratic Lieutenant Governor, is going to get in this race for Wisconsin governor this time. And also, nobody knows Milwaukee better than our own Dan Schaefer. He is Milwaukee through and through. So we'll check in with Dan on how the city is doing after baseball season. Are they settled into Bucks basketball now? Are they no longer fearful that Giannis is going to bolt? And what else is happening in Dan Schaefer's life? So it's always fun. It's like sitting down for a cup of coffee or a glass of bourbon with your favorite friend who knows everything and can just explain it easily.
Yeah, it's always very informative. It's very refreshing. It's very there's another word for it. What is it?
Recombobulating?
Yeah, that's what it is.
We'll recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at the bottom of the hour. And hour two, Wisconsin fun fact, a little egg edition of what's worse in hour number two. Also, going to tell you which airports that Donald Trump and Sean Duffy, star of The Real World, who is now the Secretary of Transportation, true story, they're reducing capacity at some airports. But there is one group of travelers that will not be affected. We'll tell you who it is And we'll find out whether you are one. We'll also give you news you could use, recommendations for if you do have to travel over the next few days as the federal government continues the longest shutdown in governmental history. Republicans, just remember, my former party, which I left in 2011, controls the Congress, both houses, the House and the Senate. They control the presidency. And for all intent and purposes, they control the Supreme Court. But yet, the government remains shut down. Folks are not getting paid. Food stamps have been cut off. People are going hungry. But here's the good news. We in Wisconsin are not buying into all the crap going on in D.C. like we always do. We're taking the bull by the horns and so proud and so thankful for all the great Wisconsinites who are stepping up to the food pantries, who are donating money, who are donating resources, who are donating to the humane shelters because a lot of people can't afford to either keep or feed their pets in these times. So Wisconsinites are doing what we always do. We say the heck with what's going on, those goofballs in D.C. We're going to take care of our own and encourage each and every one of you to continue to do that. Also, shout out before I forget to WFHR, who's celebrating their 85th anniversary this weekend. Great folks up there. We did the show up there again a month or so ago, maybe 2 months. It's just a great group of people, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. They're local folks who are committed to their community, and I'm so proud of them. I'm so thankful to call them colleagues. So congratulations to all of them. And tomorrow we're going to be speaking of another great, more rural station in our network. Going to be at WRCE, WRCO, talking about the driftless economy. So hope you will join us then. Here's where I want to start today. And look, back when I used to be in politics, and I guess Somers, maybe to a degree, I still get myself in a little trouble. I tend to get myself, I guess you would call it good trouble, as John Lewis used to say, because I ask questions. I say, well, I'm just asking questions. You understand? That's all I want. I've just got questions.
Todd values honesty and, you know, communication, just understanding what's happening.
I try. And again, I'm not perfect by any means, but I ask questions. And for those of you who have been in this program since it came on the air, it'll be 3 years next week. After about a month we were on the air, so not even, we got word from the then new president of the UW system, Jay Rothman, that they were going to close my alma mater, UW Richland in Southwest Wisconsin. And we ended up doing a 3-hour on location show out there. And thus began, I didn't plan this, I didn't ask for it, but because I know something about, and I care, and I know a lot of people within UW system, know a lot of people still at the Capitol, I started asking questions. So we've been doing a ongoing 3-year investigation of the University of Wisconsin system. Now they go by the Universities of Wisconsin, I just refuse to call it by that name. It is still UW system. Since that time, what are we up to, Don? Zomer, 6 or 7 of the 13 2-year campuses have closed. We saw the attempt by Republicans in the legislature to take away $87 million from UW system during the budget process. We helped shine a little light on that, and the cuts, thankfully, were not as much. And I've said this before. I want to make it clear up front. I am not here to say that there are no efficiencies to be found in UW system. There are, like almost any part of state government. But what bothers me about this issue is, like so many things in our state when it comes to government, the lack of transparency. Things happening behind closed doors without explanation. The University of Wisconsin system is a public university. It's UW-Madison is a land-grant university. It goes all the way back to President Abraham Lincoln signing the Land-Grant Act, giving monies to states for schools, particularly in agriculture and affordability and raising people's educational levels. It's a land-grant university. The people are meant to be involved. And yet, under this president, Jay Rothman, this Board of Regents, now the majority of whom have been nominated and confirmed, nominated by Democratic Governor Tony Evers and confirmed by the Senate. Lack of transparency. And I've said before in this program that some of our best reporting in the state is coming from student newspapers. And these, I don't think they should be called student journalists. They're just journalists who happen to be in a student newspaper. And so I want to refer to a couple of stories. I'm going to give you, before the half hour is out, an action item. Because there is something being covered up that's coming up this month that you, the public of the state of Wisconsin, should know about. And you can participate. And all I am left with is the assumption, because nobody will give me answers on this, is the assumption that the Board of Regents and Jay Rothman do not want you to know this. Because they have buried it in a memo online. There is a special meeting of the Board of Regents coming up this month that could determine the future of the remainder of the two-year campuses in the state and lead to the legislature controlling the curriculum for every university, 2 and 4 year across this state. So I want to break this down for you a little bit here. This comes to us from the Spectator News. Spectator News. If you're not familiar, it is the student newspaper at the University of Eau Claire. Headline, Board of Regents proposes general education requirements across universities of Wisconsin. The Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin system has proposed a new policy as a result of provisions in the 2025-27 biennial budget. According to a UW press release, this policy will establish, quote, listen to this, quote, a student-friendly approach to transfer that will guarantee that core general educational credits earned at one UW university will transfer and apply towards graduation requirements at another UW university, unquote. Doesn't that sound nice? How nice is that? Oh, this is very nice.
I bet someone got paid a lot of money to come up with that.
Your credits will transfer. Back to the story, core general education requirements, better known as CGER, stay with me, are the courses outside of students' major and minor requirements needed for graduation. The Regent policy has proposed the general educational requirements as 6 broad categories with a requirement of at least 10 to 12 courses and 30 to 36 credit hours. Let me break this down in real terms for you. I mean, the reporter is doing a great job, but I understand you're going to tune out real quick because you're going to be like, Todd, I don't know what the hell this means. And I don't blame you. What the Board of Regents, i.e. and Jay Rothman, are proposing on the 17th floor of Van Nuys, and I refer to that because that's where the president's office is, the 17th floor, that they're going to change it now so that all 4 years have to offer essentially the same general ed requirements. And they're going to break these up into 6 buckets, we'll call them. And you think, well, what's wrong with that, Todd? On its face, nothing. But when you look into this, what they're doing is they are setting it up to put the final nail in the coffin of every remaining 2-year campus in this state. 3 years ago, I sat in Richland Center and I said, this is the canary in the coal mine. If we don't do something about this, every 2-year university will be gone. And it is my belief, based on my reporting, that it is about to happen. I will tell you why and the connection and put the dots together on the other side. It's the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Roundup.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on Thursday, November 6, 2025. After the bottom of the hour farm news update with Pam Yonke, we'll recombobulate our friend, contributor, and colleague, Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be along to talk politics and anything else that Dan wants to talk about. Right now, talking about the hot news story off the presses. Not going to find this a lot of places. I just like to ask a lot of questions. People get annoyed by me. And I understand that, believe me. But yeah, why does Allball ask so many questions? This is just the first chapter, by the way, of this next chapter, first part of the next chapter. We've been looking into this for over 3 years, ever since UW Richland, the two-year campus there, was announced by Jay Rothman, president of the system. He was closing it down. By the way, Rothman never set foot in Richland County, never talked to anybody on campus, never talked to a county elected official. He sent his flack, Jeff Barrant, who I used to work with on the other side of the aisle at the state capitol, nice guy. And Brandt was sent out there to a group of about 200 people. And after the meeting, I said, Jeff, I said, so just level with me. What's going on here? I said, first of all, there's $1 million I heard missing from the foundation, allegedly, at UW-Platteville. And he looked at me, he said, how do you know about that? I said, well, is it true? And he started sweating profusely. He sweats a lot anyway. But he sweat even more. And then I said, why is Rothman doing this? Why won't he come? And he just turned on his heel and walked out to the parking lot. And I followed him, not in a threatening way. I said, Jeff, we've worked together. Answer the question. If you want your boss to come on, I'd love to have Jay Rothman on. And never heard back. And this is what bothers me about this new reporting that we're talking about from the SpectatorNews.com at UW-Eau Claire, entitled Board of Regents Proposes General Ed Requirements Across the Universities of Wisconsin. At first, it sounds like a great idea, but you have to know history. As our friend Matt Flynn is fond of saying, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke until and unless you know history. The history on the UW system. My grandmother was the first woman to be a dean to your system. So they started off basically like they are today, satellites of the four-year colleges. Then they broke away, the 13 2 years, into their own college with their own chancellor. And the idea was they would have their own degree, the associate degree, a two-year degree. And if you got that, that would be recognized as meeting all general ed requirements throughout UW system, including Madison. And then, as long as you had the grade point, you could transfer to a four-year and finish up. So it was more affordable to stay at home for your first 2 years and then transfer. So one of the main points of the two-year colleges. And now six or seven are gone. And what I believe in my reporting, asking questions with, look, I got people like to do this. People don't like to go on the record. But they say, well, Todd, you should really look into this. I'm like, all right, I'll look into it. I know a lot of people looking at it all over the state. And I'm not bragging about it, by the way. I'm just letting you know that this is just not Todd waking up one day, oh, what can I blow my mouth off about today? No. This is based on actual conversations. I believe that what's being proposed by the Board of Regents in it, what is going to be, try to be a secret meeting coming up on November 19th, they want to pass this so that Jay Rothman then can say, oh, look, now you can go to any four-year and have all the same general ed requirements, so we no longer need the two-year colleges. And he will use this as the final nail in the coffin to close the remainder of the two-year colleges and hold your hats and hallelujahs, as they said in Gypsy. Instead of mama's going to do it to you, Jay Rothman's going to do it to you, because reporting that I am now hearing or in conversations that I have heard, that now they are prepared to target initial four-year campuses for closure in this state, and Superior, you're up first. So if you didn't think this was real, it's about to get real. We'll talk more about this if not tomorrow, on Monday, this great article in The Spectator. There's also a great op-ed in the Daily Cardinal as well today by Professor of Humanities, K.D. Thompson, saying that members of the UW-Madison community, as a member, I am deeply concerned about the proposed changes to the universities of Wisconsin general ed requirements outlined, if this isn't minutia, I don't know what is, in Regent Policy Document RPD-4X. I mean, how much more can they hide this? These changes, Professor Thompson writes, if implemented, would not only undermine the quality of disaffectiveness of UW-Madison education, but also negatively impact students' academic preparation, equality, and future opportunities. And that leads us to the second part. In this budget that the Republicans passed and Evers signed, there is a piece in this, to put it in layman's terms, that talks about professor workloads. Oh, we don't want the taxpayer to get cheated because professors aren't working hard enough. And so we want regulation over that. Well, what they don't talk about is UW-Madison and Milwaukee are two research universities in this state. And they bring in dollars to take a sabbatical to do research for a year or 2 years at a time. And so their workloads are different. But this is the initial cusp, what was passed by the legislature and signed by Evers, to start manipulating curriculum. And the Republicans want to move that curriculum to the right and make it less liberal art studies, not liberal like political, but a liberal like as in, hey, learn a little bit about something, everything. And here's the kicker. If you go on the Universities of Wisconsin site, not Madison, but UW System site, there is nothing on here. I'm holding it right here about this meeting until you get down to like the ninth, tenth question. It says, what is the role of the region's process? And buried in here, it says, the board will consider RPD 4X at a special meeting November 19th. It is not public knowledge yet, but we're making it public. Hold your hats and hallelujahs, Jay Rothman. Toddy's going to do it to you. We're coming for you. We'll let the public know. Dan Schaefer is next.
A fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
I mean, we need a recombobulation area.
Everybody needs a recombobulation area. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35, now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Thursday, November 6, 2025. Glad to have you along. I've been a little hot this last half hour because it's an issue that I care deeply about. One might say, after the last 30 minutes, I'm a bit discombobulated. But no one better to recombobulate with than the political editor of Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can find all of his work and the other great people there at therecombobulationarea.news. The one, the only, Mr. Milwaukee, Dan Schaefer.
Todd Alba, wonderful to join you. What an introduction. Thank you so much. The audio intro, the everything else, always wonderful to join you here on the Todd Alba Show.
Well, we appreciate it. Lots to get to today, and I just want to wrap up something that we have been talking about this last half hour and get your quick take on it.
It is rather discombobulating, I must say.
Thank you. It's very discombobulating to me. So just to quickly reset in case you're just joining us, there is new reporting, and I think, Dan, you'll appreciate this. I like to say student journalists in the state should just be called journalists who work for a student newspaper, because these folks are great. And there's some great new reporting by Isabella Matzik, the chief copy editor at The Spectator, which is the UW-Eau Claire newspaper, on this issue on the border regions. Also at the Daily Cardinal today, there is a op-ed by Katie Thompson, professor of humanities. And the quick version is that as a part of the biennial budget that was passed by the Republican legislature and signed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, they are looking at redoing both curriculum, and now President Jay Rothman of UW System, along with the border regions, wants to redo the general ed requirements, saying that the 4 years, essentially, to put it really simplistically, are going to offer essentially the same general ed requirements so that you can transfer to another four-year school and just start your major, which on its face, most people are going to say, great. The issue I have is that the history of the two-year colleges in the state, that was one of their core purposes, that you could stay closer to home or live at home for 2 years for cheaper but high quality education, get your associate degree, which also met all general ed requirements, and then transfer to any four-year. Dan, I feel this will be the final nail in the coffin for the 2 years, and reporting, I'm now hearing sources across the system that keyword may, the UB Regents and Jay Rothman may be now also considering closing four-year colleges, universities in the state, with Superior and Parkside being the most vulnerable. Have you heard anything about this? And why have we not heard more about this if you haven't?
Well, I haven't heard that much about this. The UW system is not something that I like spend a lot of reporting on in my day-to-day. However, I listen to the Todd Alba show, so I have been very aware of what's been happening with two-year colleges across the state because of it. And I do think it's a real problem, and I do think it has been something that has flown under the radar as a major issue in Wisconsin, the closure of these two-year campuses, because I think, you know, I think you've touched on this a lot. It's just a different way for people from different parts of the state to have pathways to a career, to a college education, whatever it might be. And as you know, there's so many, it's like a national issue to talk about, you know, rural parts of Wisconsin or places in the state that have been, you know, economically looked over or fallen behind. You know, these two-year colleges can provide a pathway to some economic mobility for people. And so I think closing them is yet another challenge that, you know, some of these parts of the state that have faced some economic instability in recent years are, it's not making things better, that's for sure. And I think the way that you've outlined this too with how, you know, I was listening before joining here, you're talking about how this is just kind of like, it's coming up in student media. It's coming up in, you know, it's not like a highlighted thing or a press conference or anything like that. You know, I think it warrants more of a conversation. I think you're absolutely right about this.
I appreciate that. That's all I'm doing right now. Just asking a lot of questions. I know I annoy people. You know that better than anybody else when I ask questions. and I like to ask questions. And here's that. I'll just two more quick points on this. From UW System or University of Wisconsin owned website, it says, you know, Act 15 core general education requirements and transfer work groups, their purpose, their work group membership, updates, and way down in the EQ part, questions, it says, what is the role of the regents in this purpose? And buried, Dan, in the fourth sentence, it says, and it is anticipated the board will consider RPD 4-X at a special meeting on November 19th, which is not public knowledge yet and is flying way under the radar. And oh, by the way, the period that the Board of Regents and Jay Rothman set for public comment on this for the general ed transfer policy and workload policy, the general ed comment is open until, oh, wait, that closed on November 6th. The workload policy general comment period is open until the 9th, which is Sunday. Why? Let me put it this way, Dan. You know politics better than anybody I know in this state. And if there's political hay to be made, somebody's going to make it. And yet, Tony Evers, who has now nominated the majority of regents who put this guy in place, Jay Rothman, here was his response, what, Zobbers, a year ago? This is as much as Tony Evers has said about Jay Rothman.
Longer than a year ago. This is from a question at a luncheon that he had to briefly answer and then move on. So he didn't even want to say it then. So
right.
January 30th, 2024.
January 30th, 2024. Here's what Governor Evers said about President Jay Rothman.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Doing the best job possible, Dan Schaefer. Now, what does that remind you of in political history? What could Hurricane Katrina, Zomers?
Again, I want to thank you all for, and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
I mean, the similarities are crazy, Dan Schaefer.
I didn't know that was the George W. Bush quote you were going to pull to. There are some similarities there. That's for sure. You know,
doing a heck of a
criticizing the job being done and then saying the guy is doing the job is doing a heck of a job. Oh, boy. Now I'm discombobulated all over again, Todd.
All right, we'll move on. But your quick take on this. Doesn't it strike you as odd that the Democrats aren't using this to go after Republicans and say they're not funding this. This is why we're closing campuses. It's all quiet. And on the other side, Robin Voss is not holding press conferences, you know, standing at the podium and saying, once again, we have decided to close woke dens of indoctrination, and this is our job. You don't hear that, Dan.
As much as I love to hear your Robin Voss impression, you're right. You're absolutely right that, like, there is, you know, it's funny. Some issues don't cut across traditional partisan lines. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, typically school funding, UW funding has been, you know, okay, Republicans want to cut funding for education and Democrats want to add funding for education. This one is a little bit different, right? So, mm-hmm. So I think there is, you know, it's kind of like the data centers issue. It doesn't cut across traditional political mm-hmm. lines. And I think that sometimes paralyzes these politicians into thinking, oh, wait, we got to figure out what everybody's supposed to be saying about this before I weigh in and have actual principles or convictions
right.
and say something about it. I think there's an opening here. I would like to hear the candidates running for governor asked about this as well.
100%. We're going to transition into that in just a second. Zomer's doing yeoman's work, said, Todd, we're going to remind listeners for an action item. Yes, call your state senator, call your state assembly person, call the governor's office, call the 17th floor of Van Nuys, Jay Rothman's office, and say, make this information public. The public, the comments that are here, by the way, are not even public. You can't even go online and see what the public is saying in the public comments. And there is something deeply disturbing to me. I don't care which side of the aisle you're talking about, when it is a public institution run by taxpayer money and the public can't be involved. So,
And they do this. I mean, I've done a lot of reporting about the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. They do the same thing. They ask for public comment and then they make it so that you have to put in a public records request to see any of those public comments when they should just be public to begin with. Get rid of these barriers. Be open and transparent with these things.
Let's go very quickly. Jack, we're up against the clock. I know you wanted to say something quickly about UW System. Jack and Merrimack on WMDX. Jack, if you can make it quick, please go ahead.
Okay. When I started going to school, admittedly in the dark ages, tuition was $312.
Wow.
Now, when my son graduated, it was $10,000 a year. The second thing is, apparently, this still isn't enough to shut enough people out of a good quality public education. So now they're going to start to close the campuses to shut even more people out. These Republicans are an outrage to public education and in fact, to the security of our country, because a lot of these smaller schools graduate people that build our technology base. They're in bio, you know, biotech. They're in. They might even be in weapons development. The point is that we can't keep cutting back university education for the masses of people and only reserving it to the very rich.
Appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you very much. Dan, Jack makes a great point. These are also economic drivers for these communities in which these universities are. And I think if we transition to the elections from this last Tuesday, voters seem to be talking about economics and what's happening in their wallets.
That's for sure. The economy isn't great right now. We had some bad economic news this morning about some one of the worst months for job cuts that we've seen in quite some time. And yeah, I think, you know, I know we were going to talk a little bit about what we can learn from those results across the country on Tuesday, what we can learn here in Wisconsin. We had a rare day off from elections, so we got to watch everybody else freak out for once and not have to be part of it ourselves. But I think that's, you know, it's certainly a big story to talk about that being one of the top issues to come out of the election. And I think there's a lot of frustration with the current administration and the economy in particular. Trump had really strong marks on the economy in his first term. That is not the case right now. That is not the case. People are very much against tariffs. We saw that in the polling from the Marquette University Law School last week, too. Wisconsin voters are very much against tariffs. They recognize that these are raising prices for Wisconsin farmers and other folks in business. So I think that's going to continue to be a major issue going forward.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, a couple minutes left here in this segment. But, Todd, you put out a tweet after that Marquette poll, which you always get the nuance, which is one of the many things I appreciate about you. because the head-to-head of the candidates was like whatever, but there was one of the tweets you put out on the issues and how that ranked. Talk a couple of minutes about that.
Yeah, so I write a recap of all of the different Marquette University Law School poll results, and you know they rank the issues, and I think it's instructive here to look at this in just kind of like the 1 year out from the midterms context. But you know, inflation and the cost of living was a major issue throughout Biden's first term or Biden's presidency, and it ranks very much as the top issue concern. Nearly 70% of voters say inflation and the cost of living is very concerning. And 27% of voters, that higher than any other issue, say it continues to be the most important issue. So we'll look to that, I think, going forward a whole lot.
When we come back, Dan will tell us, according to Marquette Law School, what is the least important issue. It might surprise you and why it might spell trouble for Republicans in 2026. We'll recombobulate with the master of recombobulation, Dan Schaefer, with more after this on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock and hour number two, a Wisconsin fun fact for you. Also, what's worse, an egg edition, scrambled eggs, or over easy? The hard questions here on the All Ball Show in hour number two. And also news you can use if you're going to be traveling. How can you get through these tough times? We'll also break down a list of the 40 airports that real world star Sean Duffy says they are going to throttle back. And so he held a press conference, not just in his underpants like on Real World, but in a full suit. And so we'll go over that in hour number two. Always suited up and ready to go, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, our political editor at Civic Media. You can find all of his work at therecombobulationarea.news. The one, the only, Dan Schaefer, going to be busy at the Recombobulation Area at General Mitchell Field.
Luckily, Milwaukee's airport is not on Sean Duffy's list of 40. We noted this in today's edition of Civic Media Today. Go subscribe to that one as well. But noted that none of the Wisconsin airports are part of this list of 40 for, you know, cutting back the number of flights or whatever it might be. So you're still able to recombobulate at the Milwaukee airport.
Well, very good.
Despite this ongoing shutdown.
We should give a shout out to Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany. They don't have the power to get flood relief, FEMA relief for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but by gal, they can keep the airports open.
For now.
Before the break, Dan, we were talking about the Marquette Law School poll that came out last week. You broke this down in a tweet. Issues before the break, we were talking about that people across the state are important to them, which seems to favor the Democrats. Tell us some of the issues, according to this poll, that are not so hot in voters' minds, how that can play out in 2026.
Yeah, so this ranking of the most important issue, we talked about before the break how inflation and the cost of living is by far the number one issue for people right now. But they had, you know, a number of other things, health insurance, jobs in the economy, gun violence, abortion policy, whatever it might be. Ranking last on this list of 10 different items is crime in your community. And now I think this is interesting because the way Marquette polled it a little bit differently than it typically does. If you just say crime, it's one thing. But if you say crime in your community, then you have fewer people saying it's a most important issue. It's this kind of you see this on a number of times in the Marquette poll where people might be broadly not supportive of public schools, perhaps. But when you ask about your public school, people are very supportive of it. And I think it's a similar type of thing about crime in your community here. You say crime might be a problem more broadly. A lot of people point to things that might happen in Milwaukee. But crime generally is different than saying crime in where you live.
Absolutely. And now we transition into 2026, of course, the Supreme Court race in April. But then these legislative races, Democrats, Dan Schaefer, I think they have a shot at the Senate. How do you see this shaping up a year out?
Well, I think the Tuesday results, you know, we can look at what happened in New York City. We can look at the governor's races in New Jersey and Virginia. But I want to look into the Virginia House of Delegates.
As only Dan Schaefer can. Go ahead.
That's right. In the Virginia House of Delegates, Democrats went from 51 seats, a slight majority in their 100-seat chamber there to 64 seats. So the down ballot impact of what's happening nationally, you know, obviously Virginia, there's a lot of federal workers that are going to be impacted by the shutdown. So that's one thing. But I think that also tells us that if we are looking ahead to Wisconsin's midterm, I think there is a real actual chance that Democrats could win a trifecta in the upcoming midterms. If Virginia is able to get to a near supermajority status, if Democrats there are able to get to near supermajority status, I think Democrats in Wisconsin could win a majority. I think they might be the favorites in the Senate. I think the Assembly is a little bit tougher. But all they would have to do in the Senate is flip two seats that were won by Kamala Harris last year, and they would be able to win the majority in the Senate. And then in the Assembly down ballot, again, if you're looking at the down ballot impact of what's happening at the national level, history tells us that the party that's not in the White House is going to do better in the midterms. That could be a seismic change for Wisconsin government if Democrats can get themselves together and really compete for a trifecta right now, because the opportunity is there.
We had State Senator Keldon Royce, one of the Democratic candidates for governor here yesterday. A caller in Appleton, Cindy, called in and said, I hope based on the results nationwide Tuesday that, quote, Democrats don't get cocky, unquote. In Wisconsin, she meant. And Senator Royce sat right here as a Democrat and said, I couldn't agree more. And that isn't one of the lessons, Dan, especially in these gubernatorial races? Forget the social issues, stick to the pocketbook issues and things that really matter to voters.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't want to ignore issues entirely, but I don't think you want to overemphasize anything that's not the number one issue. And I think we're seeing in the polling and across the board here, as the economy continues to struggle, that's the number one issue: affordability, inflation, the economy. You know, there's so many issues tied to that. I think we saw health insurance and housing show up in the Marquette University Law School poll as major issues of concern for people as well. So I think you're right. They can't be complacent by any means, but it has to be some encouraging results from Tuesday. If you know, get people can use a little hope, right?
Always,
looking ahead,
always.
Hope is a good thing.
As Jesse Jackson said at the 1988 Democratic National Convention, keep hope alive. Love that speech. Love that line. Quick speed round. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Democrat, in or out of the race?
Seems like he's probably headed towards getting into the race. You know, we will see. I think he has said that he wants to make a decision before the end of the month here. So stay tuned. But all signs pointing to him running at this point.
As you look, Dan, at, well, I'm not going to ask any more political questions. Is Milwaukee finally calmed down and content that Giannis isn't going anywhere? Are people just, I see all the speculation, and I think he's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. It's all so overblown. All the nonsense in the offseason about Giannis. He loves Milwaukee. He loves the Bucks. They're off to a good start this season. I'm excited for tomorrow night's game. They're hosting the Chicago Bulls, who have had off to a good start. We rarely have the Bulls and the Bucks good at the same time. The Bulls haven't been good in a while. Maybe they'll both be good. We'll have another regional rivalry like we did with Brewers Cubs all summer.
Not only good, but great. Dan Shaver, you can catch him at the recombobulationarea.news back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.